Welcome, everyone, to the Last Video Store Clerks podcast with Frank and Scott.
The days of Blockbuster, Hollywood, and the independent video store are over.
But searching the shelves for that special overlooked movie will never end.
The one that really sticks with you forever.
Let's drown ourselves in a sea of streaming services and ask the question, what the fuck is that?
Does this hold up?
And just what the hell is a good movie anyway?
I'm Frank Roll.
I'm Scott Moran.
And we're the Last Video Store Clerks. Thank goodness for IMDb.
Yeah, but how much of your brain are you leasing to your phone? You don't have to remember things because you can just look them up again.
I compete with IMDb. So for me, it is looking for, but it's more of a confirmation.
Do you ever feel like you need to like work to commit something to memory because you're getting lazy about it? Like you've looked the same thing up like three or four times and you remember as you look it up, like not what it was, but you remember looking it up before. I still don't remember what it is, but I've looked this up before.
That sounds familiar.
I'm 40, but I feel 37. You know what I'm saying?
I'm almost 40.
You don't want to be 40 and feel 20.
37's like a nice, it's a good
I
spot.
I feel 37.
It's a good spot.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about it. I'll let you know.
You're papering again. You're fucking paper.
Sorry, I'm twitchy.
You're like the most shaky newsman. I'm Walter Cronkite.
Okay.
I couldn't think of a more current newsman
than Walter Cronkite. Anderson Cooper, that shit.
I went back before I was born.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even Dan Rather it. Like, you didn't even go child. You
Dan
went, like,
Rather was my favorite.
Dan Rather is like the staple of our age group. I feel that was the evening news, right? And oh, the other guy,
Charles Carrelt, Sunday morning. Because my parents used to watch that shit, and it made me so tired. You remember that? The news show on CBS?
I don't think I know that one.
It's still on.
Still?
Yeah, it's like the most tranquil news program of all time.
I think I've mentioned it. My mom didn't really listen to country music, but we'd listen to KVET for the morning radio, and it was like, news and comments with Paul Harvey.
It's kind of like Jennifer Jason Leigh in the Hudsucker Proxy.
I'll bet my Pulitzer on it. No. It was different. He was more, it was like country, but, or even just like, you know, like an old baseball movie, like the fucking announcer in the old baseball movies.
Yeah.
Well, or not movies, just old baseball, like the real thing, but then portrayed in movies. Jesus.
You said that, and for some reason, I got a very clear image of the guy who plays the guy who walks around going, "You jackass," in Happy Gilmore. Was he a sports announcer in a movie?
Hold on.
It a league of their own?
I'm trying to see his face from Happy Gilmore.
You know what I'm talking about.
I can't picture his face.
Wow.
I had that on VHS. That and Billy Madison. I used to watch those so often. I had the two.
Yeah, you used to make me watch Happy Gilmore more than I... Like, because of how often you watched Happy Gilmore, yeah. I think, that you were like, no, we're going to watch this. I think that I had an aversion to watching it for many years.
Were you around when I was watching Stripes like that?
No, but you... I feel like you've done that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like, I think you watch Stripes over and over again.
Like, why is Stripes a comfort movie for me?
I kind of get that one. Isn't,
there's a lot of people in that one. Bill Paxton? I'll stop.
God, what's her fucking name?
Oh, why Sean Young.
Timely, because of Dune. Dune was so good.
I didn't, God, jealous.
Dune.
Jealous. I don't get any of the memes.
It's so much story, like, and it takes its time with it. And there's like no fat on it at the same time.
Mm.
It's really crazy.
I like it lean.
Like, they covered so much, like, compared to the David Lynch Dune.
Are there going to be more? Or was that?
Maybe.
Maybe.
There'll be a Dune Messiah. But that's what I was saying, was like, the commitment to that series is optional. Like, one is fine.
Yeah.
Two is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And then
anything else is bonus.
As you keep going, it's like, all right, why am I still here? Why am I still doing this?
Ask
am I
the Marvel
this
people.
Interested? Yeah. I feel like that series just got beat to death. Because I made it really long way before I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And some of that I had to do it on audiobook. But even then, you know, when the audiobooks of the series, you're like, no, I think I'm done.
Next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've read that first one dozens of times since I was a kid. I find something new in it every time.
I can't wait till I get my turn. I finally watched Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
It took a, what is that, over a year? No. It was it just this last summer? Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean.
6-8 months.
It's just become available in the last couple months.
Peacock.
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 Yeah.
Peacock.
I've been doing Paramount more often lately, though. I'm watching Evil. It's like X-Files with the devil. It's kind of sexy, too.
Our Paramount Plus, we're getting it from somebody that we don't talk to anymore. And it's not like they kicked us off, but just wanted to delete it out of spite.
What? You and your grudges.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Just take it. You're just, you're fucking, you're like a pirate, man.
It's a principle.
You're a pirate. You're riding the high seas with their fucking Paramount Plus, watching Star Trek.
I just don't want their Paramount Plus right now, okay?
I'm into it lately. You have to go through phases with the streaming services. Like, there's the two you always go, two or three you always go back to. The Orbiters, you know, they're not going to be good all the time. Paramount and Peacock is not as good as Netflix or Prime or Hulu even. Hulu is like the
better.
Back corner of the store.
They've gotten better. And yeah. Some of the stuff they have doesn't float around to the others as often.
It tickles me more. Hulu gives me that thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I know. You know me.
Hulu's got me about to watch Con Air just because it keeps popping
That's
up towards
exactly
the
what
top.
I'm saying.
You know
it's
what
like
I mean?
It gets me a little bit.
I have no desire to watch Con Air again right now, but if it keeps putting it towards the top, I might just hit play.
I do kind of feel like Hulu is the one where, like, if I can't find something to watch, if I go to Hulu, I'll find something.
More than likely on there is something you have seen before.
Or something completely out of left field. I feel like it's the most left field.
Their horror is...
Yeah, their respect for the weird. Like the really weird shit.
That's what I'm saying. There's some on there that are horror that I haven't seen anywhere else. Like, they pick it up. It might go to Showtime. And you know Showtime is through Hulu anyway, so I guess they just kind of bounce
Shudder
it.
I think Shudder might have something to do with it. And FX also.
And those are just hit or miss to me. I've seen some really good things. I've seen some not so good things. Yeah, well, Bad Hair. I don't know if you ever watched Bad Hair. Or the one with the dog.
Oh, I've found the most duds ever on Hulu, too. That's what you get in the back corner of the store.
Yeah.
You're like, what is this? Oh, no. Okay. I get it. I see.
Shouldn't have done it. I should have stayed strong.
I would say that Netflix is the most full of movies that I didn't ask for. But there they are. They're like Outer Limits episodes from the 90s. You know what I mean?
Kind of everything?
In quality, too, though. Like, there's a sub, like, sci-fi section of Netflix that is, like, kind of low budget.
Well, even just the original programming movie or series. I think we might have talked about it before. The quality used to be like, oh shit, this new show, they've got a new show, or it's like a new true crime, and it was just gonna be gold. It was gonna hit, everybody was gonna like it. Now there's so much.
I feel like that started in 2016 when they started pumping out lower budget stuff. Like, and they were like, oh, we can make a lot of lower budget stuff.
Yeah, man, they just started plugging away.
And I think that Arc was the first.
You think it was the first?
It was the first one that I was like, oh shit, that one was good. It's got like the Hulu After Dark thing. You know, you could watch those After Dark movies and some of them were going to be like, all right. You know, was it Pookie?
Oh, the little.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the fuck to think like halfway through that movie, but I followed through. Couldn't tell you anything about it really, but I've seen it.
It happened.
It did. I was there.
Yeah. Sometimes that's what you want.
Like that movie Frank with the big head guy. It was what's his name the whole time. Did you ever watch Frank? It's even got this song. I'm not going to sing it, but it's like he's like this musician, you know, and this guy goes to like, I don't know if he's supposed to interview him or like work with them or something, but they're like the band's all out in this secluded place. And this guy goes out to be with him and he gets like to be part of the group. And then, oh, it would really help if I remembered who Frank was from. What was that? 1999, the Tom Sizemore with the thing. Was that movie? Remember they had the head thing? He was like the bad guy who was...
Oh, Strange Days.
Strange Days. Not 1999. Strange Days. Thank you.
It was 1999 until it wasn't.
The year 2000.
Juliette Lewis is hot in that one.
Yeah, she's like rock chick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The wardrobe.
Yeah, she goes through some like, I'm afraid of you phases.
Well, remember the dude that she's hooking up with who's like the creepy
it's
guy?
The bad guy from The Crow.
That. Oh, yes. I think that's who Frank is.
Yeah, he's in Nope.
But, like, what's his name?
Michael Wincott. See?
Because that was him.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
You don't remember me freaking out about it?
I don't.
Being like the bad guy from The Crow's in that shit.
I do not recall that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
If you'd noticed that, you would have liked it more.
Well, I mean, I could have possibly noticed it at the time. I'm not, you know what I mean? It's a little selective.
I mean, we're getting way off subject, but I think that Nope might be the most rewatchable Jordan Peele movie.
I need to watch it again. I've started it a second time, but I didn't finish. So I need to start from the beginning and watch it all the way through. Anyway.
Anyway. Arc.
Frank.
Frank. What'd you think of this? Have you seen this before? That's my first thing.
I had not seen it before.
All right.
I really wanted to like it more.
I can understand that.
I wanted to like it more.
This is a certain avenue of science fiction that is very me. Like, this is my found footage. Like, I will take a chance on some bullshit that looks like this.
Well, and so I'll ask you some questions as we go along.
All right.
Because maybe I can pinpoint it and hopefully I don't rain on your parade.
I also very much like this kind of movie.
I knew it. Once I saw Time Loop in the description, and then Olympia was like, what are you watching? And I read her the description. She was like, I was like, yeah, you know.
I like a Groundhog Day loop.
I was like full on Sonny and Cher, yo.
So put your little hand in mine. I kind of really like that it was like 3 hours, though. Like it wasn't a day, as most of these are.
Yeah, it was like a segment.
Yeah.
You're like,
Palm
no.
Palm Springs was a day, right? Was it just one day?
That sounds right. Sorry, I've only seen Palm Springs once. I don't remember the exact.
I love a Groundhog Day repeater.
Repeater.
It's good.
Repeater. Yeah, bam. Same language here.
Edge of Tomorrow. Love it.
Didn't even pop in my head.
We could do just Groundhog Day movies for like an entire year, probably.
Yeah. You just, like I've seen all those and I know what you're talking about, but you were on it.
Yeah, I dig this kind of thing. And it has like a nice low budget science fiction thing that I like. Not everybody is into it, though. A lot of people I've dated, not into it.
Well, really, I mean, this movie takes place in how many rooms?
It's like three or four.
Three or four rooms is like
three or
the
four
movie.
Rooms, five cast members. Like, really?
They could have made this during COVID.
Easily. But instead, they did it in advance in 2016. Right?
They were ahead
right
of
when
the,
it started.
They were ahead of the game. They were like, hey, guys, you need a blueprint. Check it. Check it.
Engineer Renton wakes up next to his former girlfriend Hannah in the midst of a break-in by three men referring to themselves as Father, Sonny, and Brother. He's knocked unconscious and wakes up a second time being dragged towards the basement. He struggles free, and as he tumbles down the stairs, hitting his head, he wakes up his former girlfriend Hannah in the midst of a break-in by three men referring to themselves as Father, Sonny, and Brother. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Groundhog Day. Outside, the world is falling apart. People are starving at the mercy of a corporation called Taurus. The home invaders say they are members of a counterinsurgency group known as the Block. But in the basement, Renton has built a machine that has the capability to produce infinite energy. It's rigged with a high voltage electrical field to prevent tampering. But when one of the invaders touches the machine, time begins to loop. Not just that, though. All of them are not as they seem. And the looping time pulls more minds into its awareness loop. Shared histories and old flames are killed over and over and over again. How many loops, Frank? Ned? Ned Ryerson?
Needle Nose Ned? I'm so glad you called it a repeater. That was the first thing that went through my mind when I started it. I was like, repeater.
You didn't even need a lot of science in this one.
No. You know, some of the stuff we look at, the science or just location, different things.
Yeah, I just took it. Like, I was like, I mean, that thing's spinning. That guy's dead. I buy it. Time is starting over again. It's a little brutal.
It's not creating new energy. It's reusing the same energy.
I know, not a good twist there. I was like, okay, that's cool. I don't need to know how it works. Just like, let's just keep going.
I feel like parts of this are in my brain.
But that was good enough an explanation.
It was. No, this had some really cool angles that I hadn't really seen before. You named all those. You start seeing patterns. A couple of these were cool. I liked it. Good little touches. Every time I see Arca, I want to say Arke.
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 We watch Arke.
Arke was written and directed. No.
Spanish soap opera voiceover.
The ship. No, it's Arke. I don't know.
Arke.
I feel like Arke is like It is something, though. I feel like that is something if you were to say Arque.
You going to go to the Arque?
Arque?
It's a barbecue, but it's an arc.
Over on Guadalupe.
Arque over on.
Man shack.
It's just here.
I know.
Elgin.
Arc was written and directed by former Orphan Black writer Tony Elliott and stars Robbie Amell as Renton, Rachel Taylor as Hannah, or Mother, Sean Benson as Sonny, Gary Powell as Grimm, or Father, Jacob Neiman as Brother, and Adam Butcher as Cuz. The concept predates Elliott's work on Orphan Black, stuck in development for years before reverting back to Elliott.
Fucking love Orphan Black so much.
I was trying to hear the opening song in my head the other day, and I could get parts of it, but...
You know how much love I have for that show? There's not a show like that.
So good.
It's both really well written and directed, but it's also just, how can you fucking beat that performance?
She did it, like, amazing job.
There are parts of that show where she's pretending to be a different version of herself and doing it badly with, like, a little bit of the other one in there.
But holding it.
Like Allison pretending to be Sarah.
Yes. Really, if you think about what that takes and to do it so well, and what you have to do in a day.
And to just come up with the idea in the first place that, like, I'm going to write this thing where it's going to be them, but pretending to be the other one, and they're bad at it because their personalities are so divergent. Well, anyway.
Imagine those read throughs.
It's just her.
It was announced Netflix would produce and distribute the film in January 2016, and it premiered at the Toronto Film Fest in September 2016.
Same fucking year.
Same year. That's why.
So they pumped it out really fast.
Yeah. This 8-year-old Groundhog Day loop sci-fi movie with a micro budget still holds a 6.3 on IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes is a bit more harsh with a 43% tomato meter score, but that's based on only 7 reviews.
7 fucking reviews. Do you know how many years this has been?
And there's 7 reviews.
This is an 8-year-old movie?
Yeah, 7 reviews. That's low.
Those are just the pro reviews or whatever.
I mean, the IMDb, 6.3.
Nobody that matters has watched this movie in at least 7 years.
Well, audience score is 47% based on just over 500 reviews. So, I mean, not peanuts, but I mean, it is like a Netflix production. So, I mean, 500, I think, is that's fine with everything that's out there. The main complaint among user reviews on both sites is that it doesn't have an ending. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all.
No.
In fact, I think the ending of this movie is really good.
It is. I feel like the way they presented it punched harder than how I actually felt, but I was down. You know, like I was to say that it doesn't have an ending. Did you not fucking pay attention to it?
Yeah, but go for it. Punch down. I like that.
No, it was good. I just feel like it was a good punch, but it wasn't like a fucking broke your fucking jaw punch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, how hard are you going to punch? You got soft hands.
How the fuck you know how soft my hands are? What the fuck? You got something to say about my hands? Are they puffy? This is fucking marshmallow hands over here. Hot dog fingers. Ooh. I can talk about my soft hands. Kind of shit. Oh, okay. And I'll quit fluffing.
So what are your questions?
Oh, shit. So, I mean,
do you have any questions about the beginning of the movie, Frank? How quick did you realize it was a Groundhog Day situation?
Quick. Reading the first description, when it says time loop, I was looking at...
Yeah.
I was like, what type of time hop? I was like, you know, is it going to be a machine, a natural occurrence? You know, is it like this valley in the mountains where all of a sudden everything changes? Because I guess I didn't pay attention to that part of the description if it did mention anything about corporate espionage and, like, you know, endless energy. And then I was like, but how are they going to do it? Because in these movies, each time you hit the restart, how far back do they go? How far do they cut forward? You know,
what I liked about this one was things happened after, like, once more people were a part of the conscious loop.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't start to see divergence, but like you saw each time they did that, they would have like a little more of what happened after the other person died. Like there was still more time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he died and the loop started over. More stuff happened afterwards.
Yes. And there was no real issues with changing the events of the timeline. You know what I mean? Like, no action significantly changed the overall outcome. You know, you talk about time travel, time loops, you move a pencil, all of a sudden, like, a president wasn't born. Things like that. Those types of instances did not occur in this. you were free to alter the happenings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And sorry if that sounds confusing, but yeah. It's a loop movie. You're in a loop. The repeater.
Not to be confused with driving in a circle and coming out at the same place.
Yes. It's not that. No fishing village, nowhere where you have to take a ferry. But yeah, I don't know. So what did you think about? Okay, so you're talking about, okay, consciousness in the loop, you know, people becoming more and more aware. That's based off of distance in this story. Isn't that what they decided? The further you are away from the machine, the more likely you are to be conscious, more conscious in the loop. Isn't that what was determined? So like when the people who died closest to the machine weren't coming to, like the people who died further away from it.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. So, like, yeah, I don't think I even noticed that. That it was a proximity thing. He was the furthest away from the machine.
Because the first time he dies was when he got thrown down the stairs. So he was the furthest away. So he was the first to reach it. He was the first to, ooh, light bulb. Then the next time when he took her out, she was the second one because she was close to him. Okay. It was a proximity thing, is the consciousness order. But so I guess brother stayed the closest the whole time when he died, because he never reached it, right?
Brother was, oh, the kind of the goober one?
The apple eater?
Yeah, the apple eater.
Fucking apple eater.
Motherfucker.
He's got fresh apples. Like, but damn, dude, this dude's got credits in the safe.
They did bring that up before. It was like, oh, like the world is like not doing well. Like it was like real early on. He was like, he's got fucking apples. And like, that's how they like revealed. You were like, why is this? What the fuck?
It's dystopian.
So it's a world with no apples, bro.
Yeah. It's the air is unbreathable and you can't find fresh fruit.
What a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
So like, why does he have apples? You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
like it made me question his motives a little bit.
Spoiler alert, he is still on Taurus's payroll. So the guy's got money in a world with a bunch of people who don't have anything and you can't breathe the air. He had the dwelling, you know, his house. You're like, well, if he's got all the stuff, you probably make it look like a piece of shit so nobody wants to take anything. They break in there. They're like, oh, fuck it. Maybe a place to sleep or whatever. Everything's in the basement. That's important. He's got the door. So it's more of the appearance of nothing. But you know that this dude gets the good food.
He's got the apples.
Yeah. If you got the credits to build the safe house, the shit house around your safe house, you got the credits for the good produce.
Which brings me to this actor.
He's in Code 8.
Have you watched that?
So here's the thing. I have also watched Code 8. Can I tell you about it? No. Can I tell you there's a sequel just released on Netflix? Yes.
That's this guy.
It's this guy.
That's this guy in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I watched Upload. I enjoyed it. I like Babysitter and Babysitter Killer Queen. He's in both those.
Really?
Yeah, he's
I've
one of the...
I've only seen the first Babysitter.
He's one of the ones who are trying to summon the demon.
No shit.
Yeah, he's the handsome man.
Don't recall that at all.
This
Damn.
Dude is destined to be in movies with Lacey Chabert.
Well, and didn't he have quite the resume for TV?
Oh, he's a working man.
He's got that face.
He's got a hella list.
He's got a good look.
And he's not bad. He's not a bad actor by any stretch. He's fine.
Well, his look alone, he's like multi-purpose.
It makes me not trust him a little bit every time, though. You know what I mean?
He could be a sneaky bad guy.
If he was blonde, there's no way I'd trust this man. You know what I mean?
Him blonde in a 90s action movie.
You can't trust a blonde man.
Can you picture like the blazer with the shoulder pads?
I mean, that's like built in now, isn't it? Do you remember like back in the day in like medieval times when like all the Prince Valiant types had like the goofy blonde hair and shit? Like everyone was blonde who was the hero back in the day. And nowadays, fucking villains. Fucking Lannisters.
They went platinum.
It's like, it's built into the culture now. We don't like blonde people.
Targaryens? With their white
Those
hair?
Are, that's too, that's extra blonde.
It's the
is
platinum.
That even blonde?
I just said platinum. Yeah, it's
is
the
that
platinum.
Is that platinum blonde? The white?
There's a, you know, maybe it's got a platinum blonde to it.
Silver. It's Storm is what it is. Like the X-Men.
There's a scene in the movie. So we find out Hannah's kind of like a double agent of sorts. Not like a real double agent, but she's got commitment issues, it seems like.
Did you like the backstory? Or it didn't feel thin, but it felt...
I wasn't sold on the love story. No. I wasn't sold on
it. Oh, these two people have no chemistry with each other. Whatsoever.
No. And then you find out that she's with one of the what are they called? What's their group?
The Block.
The Block.
Block, block, block. Block, block, block.
You find, so, you know, Mother, She's but she used to work for Taurus also, or was she always just like somebody that he knew?
They were working together to get something from Taurus. What I couldn't figure out was, how did they know that he had it? Why does this company that he works for need to plant a person inside the cell?
Why don't they just use two mercs to invade the house and get it? Like, merc it up, you know, Black Ops style. Stealthy, take him out, get the device.
Yeah, I mean, these schmucks fucking got in there.
Good point. This huge corporation that's running this desolate world.
They had to plant this man inside the resistance.
Two
men inside the resistance. One of which was one of their like lead torturers, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we're going to put him on this girl's team. Just don't do the voice that you do when you do the torturing.
Oh, yeah. Like, she never picked up on it.
Like, there was a lot of like conspiracy going on that was like, I mean, they could just like literally like at some point it's implied that like the house is going to get raided.
Yes.
By Taurus.
Yeah.
The like sirens start happening and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't bother to just do that in the first place.
They could have just raided the house.
Mega corporation that's winning the war. That was my one little like, some of the backstory was like not convincing enough for me.
Well, I forgot if it's like her first run through with the knowledge or if it's right before she wakes up and remembers for the first time. But they like the two guys get in a fight over her. Like, he's got them, like they're all three tied up, man. But he starts talking shit to the guy. It's like, you don't know Hannah like I know Hannah. Oh, you, Hannah. It's like two dudes in high school fighting over a chick, and she's just like, I don't even know what I want. And then it's like, boom, everybody's dead. And I'm like, this is like a world-ending, altering situation, and you've got two dudes over here 16-ing it up. Like, you know, they got their first pube, and they're getting feisty.
Yeah, he was even going to shut down the machine at one point.
Yeah, like, you don't know Hannah like I know Hannah.
He was like, oh, one more loop.
That's what I'm saying. It was stuff like that that I was like, God damn it. It would distract me. And I'm like, was that necessary? Because in a way I'm like, well, they needed something to invoke this, or, you know, that's going to be like the precursor. And then it's like, well, no, that is just like a petty fucking argument. That's how they died one of the times. I was like, is it that shallow, or did it have a purpose?
Yeah. And then just started over again. Yeah. So we got a lot of loops that were like kind of just futile. And ended up just actually resulting in more people being aware of the loop.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Groundhog Day, somebody broke it down and they were saying, what, it could have been like hundreds of years, something that he was...
Like if they'd been through thousands of times, 3 hours.
Yeah. It's that whole thing with, well, how much do you retain? But anyway, just some of the reasons you don't know that you have that many right off the bat because you don't know the whole story. So it's kind of like, let's say you have 9 lives. You want to be a little careful. You've got some room for error, but you still have to be cautious. With this, it was kind of just like, you know, in the breeze, man. Like, you know, they're just like, let's fucking make this. They didn't care if they fucked up. And to me, were all those necessary? And then the one with just the fighting over Hannah is just one thing. And at one point, did they run for a first aid kit when somebody got shot in the head?
I think somebody had been shot in the gut.
It was when home guy shot, what's his name? Sonny. Yes. No, Sonny was the shooter.
Yeah, it was when torture boyfriend.
He took one, but yeah. Was it a shoulder or was it
block,
a headshot?
Block, 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 boyfriend. Father. Daddy.
The resistance.
Ark. We come for your ark.
Oui.
The one part about her story that I thought was good, her backstory was pretty good. Mm-hmm. As far as things go,
mm-hmm.
His was fine. Their relationship backstory where he like left her behind, that was fine with me too.
Mm-hmm.
And even them being petty in it, because that's what it is. You know, we got to establish these characters pretty quickly without context. We're just going to see the loop, you know,
because they
mean?
Didn't do like flashbacks to any romance they had or any romance they didn't have, you know, like,
yeah. And I think that they packed a lot of story into those backstories, so there was an attempt was made to like make these people, you know, not just okay, they have some shared history or something like that. I thought they went a little overboard with the amount of history for each of them when they would have the conversations about it. You could just get that, like, okay, so something happened with you guys and she has a new boyfriend and you're robbing him.
Well, I mean, quite a few times they walk over and like shut that door with the latch. Like, okay, let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about it. Let's figure this out.
Also, I was thinking about it then. Was the padlock like on the outside of the room when that happened also? Could they have locked them in or something?
Yeah, like reverse the latch. Yeah, that's right. Because the latch is inside with the arc. But then that one time they trapped the dudes down there with by putting the lock just through the little thing.
You would think that they would have also done that, just in case.
Yeah.
They happen to get loose.
Yeah. The stash house in the shit house.
Where he keeps his apples. His red delicious, which is neither red nor delicious.
Oh, God, man. I mean, and what were the credits called? I forget the name already. Oof.
The credits? Oh, like the, oh.
It was like the currency, I'm guessing.
His script.
Scripts.
Yeah.
Is that currency?
I think so.
That was currency. How'd you like how that one time she left him a lot? Remember, she only took one? I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
Blocker scientist.
I thought she was a pretty convincing as far as like when she woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was realizing what he said in the beginning of it was true, you know?
Yeah.
When she goes through her first loop.
That was cool. That
like
is one of the
watching
cool
her become aware of like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck, this is happening.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I like the turn. I like the mechanic of this. The backstory was overdrawn a little bit, but understandable in like, what if this was an episode of The Outer Limits in the 90s? It would have been a damn good episode.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. That's kind of how I feel about these Netflix sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
Mother.
Mother. Hilary Swank?
Yeah, same kind of quality as far as I'm concerned.
I like Mother a little more.
Really? I think I like this one more.
Yeah, well, of course. It's Loop.
It's got the time.
The Loop.
Do you have the time?
The Block has the time.
The time is coming. What was the deal with the self-destruct code being Sky? Like some of the names for things were a little like, you spent a lot of time on that backstory, but.
September 1919.
Yeah. Sky and the Block.
Well, yeah, that was their safe word was Sky. Safe word for what? Why didn't we get that part of the movie?
For when we fuck. We like to fuck with handcuffs, bro.
It's easy to find leather when nobody can breathe outside. When they finally discover that there's more to these sequences they've been through.
I did like that.
The video.
I really like that.
That
and
was cool.
That everything was a little bit different. And they made it with the glass, the way the glass
was
broken.
Yeah, why is the glass different? I don't know. But then as soon as that happens, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, this is one of those like subgenres.
Cheap science fiction. I like it.
Yeah, because this is, you could say that there's a formula for these, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's an Outer Limits episode. It's just mm-hmm. longer. Mm-hmm. It's like a half hour more.
But, and I will say, there are parts of this formula that I haven't really seen the reaction when she's having the realization. That was good. That was really good. It was well done, you know?
I thought they pulled off the science of it just fine.
What do you think about Sonny pulling the jigsaw move?
I liked that. And I fucking... Did I write that in here?
That's what I put in my notes.
The old jigsaw dead body trick. I did put it in there. I liked that.
Yeah, it was cool. Did you see it a little... Do you remember the first time you saw it? Did you see it a little ahead of time happening?
I didn't, actually. I thought... I don't know what I was thinking, but this is the second time I've ever watched this movie.
Mm-hmm. My first.
I remember watching it and being like, that was pretty good. And I honestly think that the reason that I felt that way was because I was like, that end though, you know, because that's my kind of fucking ending. It was like, oh,
yep.
Nope. Starts over again.
It's a good twist.
And I kind of like that there are so many reviews where people are like, no end.
I know.
I fucking don't like it.
I didn't have time to look into anything like that for this one, but that blows my mind that, and that's more than one person. That's like a common thing.
Yeah, it was like a resounding 2-star answer.
There's no end. So, I mean, those people expected them to like show her point of view from that start to the
Let's
new story.
Let's do it again.
No, appreciate that that's a great place to end.
10
that.
Seasons in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, come on, people. You could go endless seasons. It could be the next Simpsons if people cared about that.
I would watch another Groundhog Day show. Because, I mean, there are. Russian Doll is a Groundhog Day show.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But I never watched it, so I can't speak on it.
Should give that one a go. It's a good one.
I like her.
Natasha Lyonne?
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fantastic.
That's one I should know. In the rating, though, it was like whatever, and it was like gore when the gore comes up. I mean, because, you know, people get shot and everything, but how about the, you know, the kill on the arc?
Are you talking about the box cutter one or the...
The face rub.
Oh, the face rub was nice.
Dude, that was like...
Mess.
For a sci-fi movie to be like gory like that?
Yeah, and it like really fucks his eye up, too.
That's like a crossover scene. Most sci-fi stuff, you don't, because it's just the length of that scene. And then they do show the body on the ground, and that's, it's a little intense because you have to picture how fast that thing, or imagine how fast it's spinning.
Yeah, and if it's smooth, and it did that.
It's like a whole friction thing, just friction and pressure. You know, like you don't even just let it do the work, like a saw. No need to push, let the saw work itself. Like, let the face disintegrate on its own.
Like a sonic hair toothbrush.
Think the skin around the temple got all floppy.
Oh,
like it didn't really eat away at it. It just like rubbed everything underneath it.
Oh, I bet it was so hot.
It's the friction.
Was the Pope a woman on TV? They're saying the Pope.
The Pope. So I did see that. Cause who was it? I saw it. Yeah. So what was she in? Wind River. Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon. Dances with Wolves.
Is that just a title in the corporation? I wanted to know more about how the world ended up like this.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because you were like a corporation, it's evil.
But the Block put the Pope on. So the Pope was leader of the Resistance.
Oh, the Pope.
Yes. Because they were like, why are you watching the lies or the propaganda? It's like, know your enemy. They said something like that. And then the guy gets up and like plugs in a code and it pulls up like her YouTube video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So... They called the other stuff propaganda. I forget what, maybe they said, am I saying propaganda? Like I'm from Boston?
Is that from propaganda?
Propaganda.
Do you guys want to go down to the propaganda? You guys want to?
It's the second that I've said where I feel like it was like not unnecessary. It was unnecessary. Anywho, yeah, the Pope was definitely Block related. She was Block's leader or...
This lady who shits in the woods.
Yeah. I mean, she had a pretty cool throw, right? Or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Lady Pope. So yeah. Progressive future where they don't have apples.
I felt like there was incense burning in the background. I couldn't see it, but it would have, you know, gone well with the scene.
Are they religious nuts because of the Pope thing?
Oh, and mother, father, sister, brother, cuz.
Sonny.
So put your little hand in my...
Do you think that's what it was? Oh man. And then it's a loop. It's like fucking Finnegan's Wake, man.
And then next thing you know, like she wakes up and Puxatony Phil comes flying from the ceiling like and fucking just manhandles her face with a little fucking Puxatony Phil claws. It's like
So my big question is, would you watch Groundhog Day 2?
Ooh, okay. Groundhog Day 2, if they
made a Groundhog Day 2 with old Bill Murray.
So this is like a continuation of, not like a re...
Like he goes back because Andy McDowell is dead. Mm. His wife passed away.
Okay.
He goes back to the town.
Okay.
Old man Groundhog Day. Would you watch that movie?
But like a grandkid goes with him. Or is that two family?
That's two family, you fucking dad and motherfucker.
Damn.
I'm just talking about like
he goes back. And gets
I went too
again.
Dark that it was Andy McDowell was dead. It would be funnier if they just went back for their like 60th anniversary or something like that.
Or they're on a road trip, and Google Maps takes them the wrong route.
Oh no, we're back, and they both get stuck in the loop.
And it's all in. It starts in the car,
and they spend another 1,000 years stuck in that loop.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what happened to Phil Connors.
Well, but then she hooks up with Needle Nose Ned.
I bet Toblowski's, I bet he's got a huge dong. Like, for real, though. You know, that's a tall, bald man. Some tall, bald men, they have... Whew.
I mean, when he was in Sneakers.
Maybe real long and skinny even.
Wasn't he using a dating service in the movie Sneakers, though? I think he's always had relationship issues in movies.
Even big-dicked men have relationship issues.
Did you ever see that German guy who kept getting injections in his junk?
No.
Dude, it's like the size of a bowling ball. Like, he wears these custom pants and stuff.
Like he was getting it, like, filler? No. Is it like, lumpy?
It's like a homemade loaf of bread. You know how they're, like, round like that? You know what I mean?
It's, like, all fat in the middle. And I'm pretty like the sure base it's a German is, like, dude. A little smaller.
I think it was, like, a little mini Vice story or something a couple years ago. You never saw that guy?
No.
Well, be careful when you jerk. Like, you know, Germany, they're into some stuff.
I thought you were about to say, like, be careful when you jerk off.
No. No.
You may come across this guy.
I was
the
just,
internet.
Like, look it up. But you know how Germans are with all the freaky stuff. So when you go for, like, big junk German dude, it's probably going to, like, just blow up. Like, but if you find one that looks like a homemade like loaf of bread, you know, extra dough, like, yeah. Damn it, needle nose Ned, dude, you did it again. he's a sleeper, man. Like, you don't see it coming. Needle nose Ned just sneaks up on you with the fucking third leg.
Remember Sammy Jenkins.
What?
He's Sammy Jenkins in Memento.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That movie, man. Why did you do that? That's like Boogie Nights vibes.
Those Nolan brothers, they carried around some fucking darkness.
You know, what was it with stuff from that time? Memento, Boogie Nights.
Some dark shit around then.
Oh, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh. Yeah.
Those were harsh.
Yeah, that time in the 90s, man. They really fucking... late India.
90s kind of dribbled over into the early 2000s.
And now we're like in an age of like pure botanical weirdness. Did you see, was that outside?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure did. Couldn't tell you which way it was going.
I think it was a chihuahua. Giant chihuahua.
You, they tuck the ass close to the ground. The head goes up. Dude, like,
so how'd you feel about this? All in all.
It's a good movie, but I'm going to say the C word. At times, it had a bit of the corn dog.
Oh, for sure.
It was a bit corn dog.
Yeah. It was like a 1990s Twilight Zone or Outer Limits episode.
Can I read to you a couple of lines? Can I act them out to you?
Oh, please.
Sorry, you're a freedom fighter now. I'm just some full engineer trying to solve the world's energy crisis. That's for you. You're welcome.
What would you give this if you were IMDb in?
If I, a 4.7.
4.7.
I thought about it. I was, yeah.
This would be your, I'm that would so be your sorry. IMDb score?
4.7.
All right. I would give it a plain 6. And I think that's okay.
And what was it, a 6.3?
It's a 6.3.
It was a 6.3. Yeah, 6.3. So.
I think 6.3 is very generous.
Okay, look.
6 is, I definitely wouldn't go below a 6, though.
I watched this last night. I thought about that last night. After talking it out with you, I'll tell you what.
I'm not negotiating. You can 4.7 it all you want.
I'm going to 4.9 it. Because, you know, the 4.9 is iffier than a 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, is there another podcast that not only rates things in IMDb's scale of 1 to 10, but also its decimal points?
I'm that fucking petty. Don't ever think I won't be. I'll bump you point, you know, I'll bump you point 2 because we talked about it. No, good movie. Good movie. If you like the repeater, if you like the Groundhog Day.
If you got an hour and a half.
Good
even.
Point. Yeah, 1:28, so you take away credit time for the credits, you're looking at probably just over an hour 20, which is, you know, fine. They probably did great on budget with the you know, the set.
Yeah, like, it didn't wear out its welcome.
No, they utilized every room. It changed.
Every loop was interesting, mm-hmm. even if it didn't have like a huge bearing on the story. I thought we got too much backstory for too long. And then throwing in the torturer was the one thing that really crossed the line for me. Because that was the thing that like made me go back and be like, let's think about this corporation's motive. Like, they had to plant these two dudes.
No,
and they specifically did it with her torturer. And be like, let's just hope she doesn't notice. Just don't do the voice. Wait, that's the that's the guy.
Yeah, fucking. And what Christmas song was that? Did you recognize the song? Because they said Christmas song, and while it did seem seasonal, I didn't recognize the words. And I mean, you know.
Well, this is like 20 years in the future or something like that.
Well, we just have.
That's
we
what it looked like
it
outside.
We haven't heard the song yet.
Cue the song. All right, we don't have a guy.
Yeah.
It's just us. But not bad, though. There are some real duds on Netflix, and this is not a dud.
Mm-mm.
This is worth an hour and a half to watch.
It was. It was. Like I said, just the certain, some of the dialogue. I'm really glad I got to read that to you. I was saving it this whole time. The love story, you know, I'm glad we didn't have the backstory or flashbacks. Thank God. Flashbacks would have killed it for me. Didn't need it.
Oh, for sure.
Thank
the fact
they
that they
there.
Stayed in that mm-hmm. those four rooms was a huge part of why this was
just
good.
Their back and forth. You could tell you got the gist of it. But no, you are the one person I know that likes time loop stuff and alternate dimension more than probably anybody else in the world. And
it was a complicated idea that didn't really run amok either.
And just little parts that were in there, I feel like if you cut those out, maybe I would have just even been cool with it. You know, they could have dropped a little bit.
So
even though you did say it was lean.
Is this the first time that you are saying that this movie should have been 45 minutes long?
Maybe. It could have worked that way for sure.
I would agree.
Twilight Zone sitch.
It works better as an episode.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that Hulu has made those Into the Dark ones. Which, like, it's technically it's a TV show, yeah. But it's like hour and a half long episodes. And not all of them are gonna be good.
I feel like I've only watched one of those, and I couldn't I'd have to see the pictures.
Pookie, you watched that one.
Was Pookie one of them?
Pookie was one of them, yeah.
No. Well, so the dog one has to be also, I feel like.
I think so. If you can't find it on IMDb and it's on Hulu, it's probably an Into the Dark movie.
Got
because
it.
They have them logged as episodes of a television show in IMDb.
It's like TV series.
Yeah.
Or some shit.
Yeah. It's like made for TV movies. So you have to appreciate it in that regard. Mm. And I think that you can do that with Netflix too, because I think that they have the balls to make a shitty science fiction movie like they did in the 80s. You know?
Yeah.
Fucking The Giver? Ugh.
Mark Hamill.
It's a fucking terrible movie, though.
Loved it as a kid.
Oh, I loved it.
I it
was
cool
it
was shit.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it was like having to pull the Giver out and shit.
This is that kind of movie, though. It's just, I bet it looked great on paper. We didn't even talk about the cool, like.
The Power Glove.
The Power Glove, yeah. The Nintendo Power Glove.
It's Electro.
Yeah, that was some sort of video game glove, man.
It's Electro.
Let's do another.
Is that a looper?
It's not a looper. But I do think it might be of a quality of science fiction that I think also tickles me.
I feel like this has got a bigger budget.
Oh, massive. Great director. But also, it went into the theater and then went right out. And no one I know watched it.
I wanted to. I so wanted I. to. I just didn't make it.
So I think that this is the other like level of sci-fi movie that I like to gamble on. Mm-hmm. I mean, surely you've noticed by now. Fucking chaos walking. I like going for this level of like, oh, nobody liked it. I'm gonna watch that.
And it's what's his name?
John David Washington.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry again. I'm off on my names tonight.
Little Denzel.
Yeah, the creator.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think this is a massive step up from this. I'm not saying it's that kind of thing. I just like slightly overlooked science fiction movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do too. You've got a little bit of the like, what is that for that kind of thing? You made me watch A Boy and His Dog. You were like Don Johnson when he's a small child,
and it's just so weird. That yeah. Well, what was so random was when I went to go rent that back in the day. It was on VHS, but I went to the Blockbuster at Burn It near Anderson. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It was there on VHS. So what? Late 90s, and I'm finding this. 70s Don, or was it 80? It had to have been 70s
for sure.
Yeah. It was there.
Yeah, it had that like Road Warrior quality.
Yeah,
to the filmmaking.
Oh, and the
but
visuals,
not really.
Oh yeah, and just the mishandling. People were just so rough with women back then.
Well, that story is pretty fucking rapey to begin with.
Yeah, and it is like
Harlan,
you know,
Ellison.
Post-apocalyptic wasteland. Yeah. But still, I mean, just even Blade Runner, man, to jerkiness with the ladies. Like, God, people are so handsy.
I don't think the creator is going to be quite on this level, or maybe it is time-wise, but I do think that Arc is a no escape with Ray Liotta. It's that quality. Enemy Mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost Sci-Fi Channel, but like a little bit not.
There's pros and cons to each that might create a balance. I'll say that.
I'm always down for it. This was kind of the sort of thing that Sci-Fi Channel used to strive for, I think. But then they like got lost in the Sharknado and it blew them away.
And then they just made so many.
Sci-Fi Channel lost its way.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked that. I knew that we talked about doing it. So now's a good time before it disappears. Hopefully it doesn't disappear right before we decide to watch it.
And that's why I kind of want to watch it, is I think that it's one of those movies that is going to kind of get lost for a while, and then it'll resurface 5-6 years down the road, maybe, and be one of those things where they're like, this movie that did really bad is the number one movie on Netflix.
Or do you think it's going to be Elysium?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good comparison.
Very similar, just like in style from what I've seen. Pretty, yeah. You know?
Fine and unmemorable.
Matt Damon! Sorry.
I think it every time.
Matt Damon! Thanks everyone for joining us for the Last Video Store Clerks podcast. Be sure to leave a rating and subscribe. You can find us on Twitter at Last Clerks, Instagram at The Last Video Store Clerks, and you can find Scott at dispatchesfromthepit.com.